doesn't matter him or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up, cause you were born this way, baby.
You are listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Andy Otto, and executive director of Twin Cities Pride. I want to welcome you to the show where we talk about all things Twin Cities Pride, current LGBTQIA plus topics, and living our most authentic queer life here in Minnesota. We always want to keep you in the know by bringing up important topics, talking about all those things that others are afraid to talk about, and how to get involved. And of course, Rena's back.
Yay!
Good afternoon, my friends.
Oh, good afternoon, Andy. I am very happy to be back. And I'm also super excited to be here today because we are rejoined by one of our favorite people to talk to, the always insightful attorney and author, Zaylor Stout, who is a very, very busy person. So thank you very much for meeting with us today, Zaylor. We are so happy to see you.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm always honored.
Yay.
We just, you know. You just always want to hang out with us. We know how to
Of course, that's true. That's true.
So, quick intro for anybody who's not familiar with Z. Through his law firm, Zaylor Stout & Associates, he represented HIV and transgender employees who face discrimination at the workplace. He also works with employers to help foster inclusive workspaces on a proactive basis. Thank goodness for that. And Zaylor has authored a book, Our Gay History in 50 States, which has had multiple printings and has been used in classrooms. And of course, ironically, been banned in a few states, you know, because I feel like that's an important part of
doing
that
the good
book.
Work.
Right. Yeah. Because then you know it's truthful. And you... because you don't have enough on your plate. Mm-hmm. You're currently in the middle of writing another book, Our Black History in 50 States, which I cannot wait for. Mm-hmm.
And that's, we've had Z on our show, of course, in the past, and we did talk about your books. But because you're not busy enough, you have also another project that we would like to talk to today. You have been busy traveling across the country, delivering a presentation that you developed called How Woke Are You? And Z has given this presentation at colleges, national conferences, like many, many, many venues. And we are fortunate today because we get to dive in and talk to Z about this presentation and this content that attendees have been giving rave reviews and has also challenged a few mindsets.
As someone who has sat through this presentation twice now, and I never think you have enough time to go through this presentation. I honestly think it could be a whole day thing because it gets, it challenges mindsets. It challenges your own way of thinking. And just when you, you know, think that you're good and you're ready to go, you get up and bring up other topics that, you know, is, you're like, wait a second. Nope, I do that or whatever. So I saw you at the 2023 InterPride Conference in San Diego in November. And then I got the pleasure of seeing you in 2024 at the USAP Conference, which is United States Pride, in Vegas this past January. So, you know, I think a good place to start is, where'd you get this idea of this presentation? I mean,
well, I'm glad you asked this. And actually, this is the first time I'm being interviewed in regard to this session. I was developing a session to present at the Forum on Workplace Inclusion, which is the world's largest DEI conference that happened here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, of all places. And I was trying to figure out a topic to be able to present it. And they said, well, you know, a lot of people that come to the conference, you know, they need more challenging sessions, right? That they say that a lot of the sessions were introductory and they need more advanced stuff. Because if you come to the conference a bunch of times, you may have seen some of the sessions repeated. And I don't know, I had an idea about coming up with this really crazy over the top session that really challenged everybody's perception in regards to inclusion. You know, the folks that are, you know, on the furthest left thinking that they're the most inclusive person. I'm like, there are still issues and aspects and areas where they can do better and things like that. And so that's what I came up with, this really over-the-top presentation, and they said, yes, do it, please. And it's been happening since pre-COVID now.
But I think, you know, is it over-the-top? I don't know. I think it's factual and truthful, and it's mm-hmm. it just oftentimes we don't have that person to challenge our mindsets, you know, and I think there's this unconscious bias that a lot of us don't want to address. And, you know, I know personally I've tried to call myself out on those things. I know I have a few and I try to work through those. But this presentation just puts it in such simple terms where you can't, like, you can't deny it. I mean, you just can't.
Well, and mm-hmm. I think it's so interesting that you said you developed this pre-COVID. And yet it is still absolutely needed and relevant. And I don't want to, like, dive into the nitty-gritty of the presentation because we'll get there. But just have you found yourself needing to adapt as you've gone? Or is it still kind of the same material that you have been delivering since pre-COVID? Have you had to make adjustments?
Strangely enough, there have actually have been a few adjustments that I've had to make. So that's, I think that's a good thing from that perspective. Mm-hmm. The part that I rely on my audiences for is anything that's been missed, right? I don't expect to be the perfect person and have covered everything. And so as Andy said, like, this could easily be a half day session. I'm sure there are areas in regards to, and to give folks a recap, you know, the session is really about, you know, delving into the different social justice movements and the different conflicts there are between and even within the different social justice movements. So folks will think that, you know, if you're quote woke, you know, everybody goes along and gets along and it's all perfect and great. And I'm like, it's absolutely not. And this and these are examples and scenarios where, you know, that's not the case. And so, you know, I understand and realize that I, you know, I have a particular worldview and stuff, and that there's likely significant aspects and issues that I haven't necessarily covered in the session. So I always really do encourage folks as well to reach out in regards to sharing with me elements that perhaps I've missed and need to be included in. And I want to be able to, you know, maybe hopefully have it be a full a half day session where folks really get to spend a lot of time in regard to these issues and have more dialogue amongst each other as well, as different people tackle some of these challenging topics.
And I think one of the things, so last month we did an episode of LGB without the T and Q, and I actually got that from you. And it was one of the, I had seen it and I didn't pay much attention to it. And then you brought it up.
That was one of the things that I added to the session. Yeah. So it's an image. I love imagery in my storytelling. And so it's this image that really, like, it, like, just knocked me on my feet. And it was hard for me to ask, accept and realize that it was a gay problem, in all likelihood, a gay man that came up with this image. It was a gay man that had posted this image. And I wanted to be able to have a discussion and share it with my trans and non-binary folks. But I was so offended by the image. I it was hard for me to even bring myself to do it because I was just so taken aback by it. And to describe the image, it was really, to, in essence, you know, somebody in the water with an anchor to their feet, and it was like the L, the G, and the B, and then it was like the T that was dragging everybody down. And then the sad part too is reading all the commentary that came along with that image in regards to folks from within our community talking about folks that are trans and non-binary, and I was just like, wow, we clearly all have a lot of work to do still in regard to this area.
Yeah, it was, that is actually one of the hardest episodes that we've done on this show because, you know, being a trans man, it's, you're very vulnerable, and to realize that your community is somewhat turning their backs on you is not a great feeling. But I've decided to take it and talk about it and try to change that narrative, as you do throughout this whole thing. But we're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned because we have so much to get into this presentation with Z. We'll dive into the concept of how woke are you. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I sailed my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor.
All right. We are on pause right now.
All right. Cool. Ooh, that timed out about perfect.
Yeah, pretty much.
Woohoo. We are back, and you're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950. I'm your co-host, Rena Heisel, as always, joined by Andy Otto, Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride. We are joined today by Zaylor Stout, attorney and author, who also happens to be a very popular presenter and educator.
Yes, yes, he is. So we were just starting to dive into the details behind your thought-provoking mind-changing presentation, and I can say that because I've sat through it, so I'm just going to throw that out there. How woke are you? Can you walk us through, like, some of the concepts of your presentation? Like, it very much is segmented into different things. Do you want to walk us mm-hmm. through kind of that?
Yes. So really, it starts with the, you know, ground level kind of level setting aspect of, you know, educating folks in regards to what the term woke means and where it comes from. You know, my belief in regards to broadening that perspective in regards to what the concept of woke is. So the introduction from that perspective. Again, this is a session that, you know, focuses on the LGBTQI plus experience, but also references a lot of other social justice movements. So, you know, providing people with, you know, the level setting as it relates to the difference between sexual orientation and gender identity and the like. And then, you know, then it really just jumps right in regards to, you know, racism. And when you think about racism and then how the racism connects with the LGBTQI plus community, you know, and, you know, the intersection in regard to the Black Lives Matter movement and the LGBTQI plus rights movement, liberation movement, you know, get into the aspect of feminism and how, you know, even amongst feminists, that there are anti-trans folks in the feminist movement, there are anti-lesbian folks in the feminist movement, that there's history as it relates to that. You know, then, you know, taking you out to even other areas where you're talking about, you know, that trans women are women and discussing some of the challenges in regards to how that intersects perhaps with the intersex community and things that are happening in other parts of the world that you think are the areas where a lot of the you know, unnecessary medical procedures are being occurred on women. But yes, those things are happening here in regard to the intersex community. So it's really bringing a lot of that around. And it's kind of interesting in regards to, you know, what brought about each of those kind of sections, because a lot of them were based on specific discussions that I had with folks that I knew really had to be addressed and challenged and really brought forward, because I think I have a benefit of being able to know a lot of different folks from a lot of different walks of life, right? Mm-hmm. Super conservative folks, super liberal folks, you know, I've known trans folks and trans men, you know, there's folks that just haven't had the experience and the benefit, let's say, of being able to have folks like this in their circles. And so it's just providing that entry to them in regards to not being fearful of folks that are different from you. And if you just come with it with some curiosity, you know, that we can all learn from each other and learn from each other's experiences.
Absolutely. The term woke, I'm going to just say it, because there's a lot of, due to some political things, right? There's a lot of fear around that word. And it can, you know, bring out some pretty strong emotions from people. Have you ever looked out into the crowd and, you know, just seen someone that's hesitant to even be in the room because you just said that word?
You know, strangely enough, where all the places where I've presented this have really been to open and welcoming audiences, right? I really appreciated finally being able to present it at U.S. Association of Prides and InterPride, because it was like, this is my first time actually being able to present this very queer focused session mm-hmm. in front of a queer audience, right? Because all the other places have really been, you know, DEI conferences and spaces and more friendly places. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to be able to actually present this in a space that's not as open and welcoming. You know, I've done this presentation at colleges where you would expect for it to also be, you know, there'd be some pushback and stuff like that, but strangely enough, not at all. But I think it's because as well, it's it's so long as folks come, it's not a preachy session, mm-mm, right? It's really laying out the different facts in regards to where these different challenges are. And it's up to the audience to really figure out where it is that they are as it relates to this conflict, to this dialogue. Is this part of your identity? Is this part of the conflicts and challenges that you're struggling with? Is this an aspect or issue that you've never thought about or have never been presented with, right? And if so, what are your thoughts about it now? And so that's why I really like the aspect of imagery in regards to storytelling, because it really connects all the different dots in a really creative way.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just thought about it. Can you go through the definition of woke? Because I think people hear the term, but I don't know that they necessarily know what it means.
So woke has African-American roots, right? And it was really about back in the Jim Crow time, really being aware of your surroundings, right? And knowing where it is that you are and having almost like being focusing on having your peripheral vision like turned absolutely on. And so it's about being aware of your surroundings, being aware of racial and social justice issues. Really started on the racial justice issue and then kind of broadened out to social justice issues. And so my belief and concept in regards to woke is even broadening it out to even more, right? To gender issues, to immigration issues, to sexual orientation and gender identity issues, and the intersection between all of them. Now the challenge these days is, you know, the a lot of the conservatives have attacked woke the same way they attack DEI. You know, these are code words for things that are progressive, and so that's why I'm reluctant to relinquish the term, especially since it's got such a valid and rich meaning within the African American community. And so, yes, that they're talking about it and they're trying to put their spin in regards to what woke means. But then the other part is that they're losing. If you think about the Stop Woke Act that was passed in over in Florida and signed by their governor, you know, they went to the courts and the courts are like, no, this is unconstitutional. But the sad part is, you know, that's been along the books for X number of years. And so what you end up having is young people that don't have access to learning about different cultures, learning the true history, that Rosa Parks wasn't just a woman that didn't want to give up her seat on the bus, that it was a time in our country's history where segregation was the law of the land. Mm-hmm. And she was pushing back against that. So there was definitely a race element and base to it. But trying to whitewash history to say, well, it was just a woman that didn't want to give up her seat on the bus, you know, erases the truth of the situation and the scenario and the lessons that we are supposed to be learning from our past.
Right. Isn't that why your book is banned in Florida? Sorry, I had to say it.
But speaking
I'm proud
of
to be part of the band book club.
Speaking of lessons that people have learned, I'm curious about some of the reactions that you get and maybe some of the comments that you've received after you give your presentation. What kind of things you're saying, especially since you're already talking to the most part a friendly crowd. What are people finding surprising?
There's always parts of the presentation that are surprising. I mean, when I said that it was, you know, an over the top presentation, there's some imagery in there that is very very graphic and very adult, but it's like, we have to have these adult conversations amongst ourselves in regard to these things. There's no dilly-dallying around it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's meant to really be in your face in regard to some of these issues because people's lives are on the line.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about the trans community and stuff. And so, you know, the thing that I love the most is, you know, when there are folks that I look up to that I think are way more knowledgeable in regards to all of these aspects and areas, folks that have been in the community and within the movement for a long time, decades upon decades. They were there for the first prides and things of that nature, that come up and say, wow, I really appreciate this. This is, you know, it taught me so much. You know, and that's really what it's about. It's trying to bring some education to the younger folks, as well as some, you know, current day viewpoints and perspectives to the folks that have been within our communities for a long time, and really the intersection between all of that too. And so that might even be another one aspect that I need to add in there is, you know, the challenge between the generations. I have some folks that do some great research in regard to that work. So see, even here, talking to the two of you. New section to be able to provide in there, because we know that there's definitely generational divides and conflicts
Oh, 100
amongst the community.
100%.
That's almost the million-dollar question right now.
Right now, yeah. So good luck with that. Mm-hmm. One of the things, when I was sitting in your presentation at InterPride in San Diego, I had another trans person next to me, and they started to tear up, and I asked them why. And they said, because maybe this group of people in this room will finally see me. And I think you're changing lives with this presentation. And I don't say that just to say that. Like, there are true people who are sitting in this who are like, hey, finally somebody's putting up that image that I see on the daily. Or somebody's talking about it as if, hey, like, listen up, we need to address the situation. And I think it becomes so powerful and sparks conversation. I mean, I know we talked about it repeatedly after we came back from InterPride. And in fact, we brought it up in our board meeting mm-hmm. at one point because it was an eye-opening experience. And then when we came back from the United States Pride Conference, it got brought up again because even our board chair was like, listen, like, we have problems that we need to address. And it was just, it's an eye-opening thing. And I think for anybody listening who wants to kind of hear this presentation, we'll kind of get to that, but how you can do it, it's changing lives. And I can't say thank you enough from someone whose life that it can change. I just hope that the conversation continues.
Yeah. And speaking of the conversation, because you, aside from the conferences, going to campuses, you do go into businesses. You've been very yeah. successful. You're a very successful communicator talking about these somewhat tricky issues. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these are things people don't want to hear about. They don't want to talk about that they might have a problem, you know, even though we all do. Could you talk a little bit maybe just about your technique and your philosophy about approaching these subjects with people in a way that will actually lead to real communication?
I love that question. Well, I think part of it too is, you know, growing up in Orange County, California, where I was, you know, there was maybe only 3 Black kids in my elementary school by the time I got to high school, maybe 5 Black kids. So, you know, there wasn't a critical mass of Black folks. So, you know, that you have to be able to learn how to communicate with the folks that are around you, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, some of the going to law school, I went to St. Thomas, which is a conservative law school, which is a conservative undergrad, the law school, compared to other law schools, yeah. religious law schools, mm-hmm. not the most conservative, but, you know, it's still on the conservative bent, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. so it's being able to learn to be able to have conversation and communicate with folks that are different than you, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, I think one of the challenges is, and I remember doing this when I was younger, you know, calling people out. I remember being at the, you know, the grapes boycott in regards to the farm workers at my college, right? And you know, there's a time to be able to call people out and there's a time to be able to call people in. And so one of the things that I learned in regards to writing Our Gay History in 50 States, and really one of the elements that really brought me to writing it was driving cross country and driving through all of these red counties throughout the country. Majority of our counties in this country are conservative and red. It's like, why do they hate us? Mm-hmm. Right? Why do they hate our community? And more likely than not, it's because we live in their communities. They're not welcoming to us. And so we leave and go to the cities. And so then they don't have folks like us there for them to be able to see and interact with and grow to love. We mm-hmm. leave. And then the times we come back is to visit or for family reunions or our parents get older and now we're going back to care for them. And so strangely enough, there's a big change currently where a lot of queer folks are going back to these hometowns and like, I'm not going back in the closet. And they're mm-hmm. just setting up shop. And now all of a sudden there's these queer folks in those spaces. Mm-hmm. But it's really being able to speak to them. And it's like almost, it's almost as if like, is it really their fault that they feel the way that they do and because they never had a chance to be able to see someone like me or interact with someone like me? And so it's coming from that point of compassion and educating and feeling as though if they're provided with the accurate information, you know, if they're provided with an opportunity to share and grow and not be ridiculed for saying the wrong thing, right? Nobody says things perfectly all the time. And so, you know, that's really been my tactic in regard to this. Mm-hmm. It's laying out the facts and stuff and showing how even amongst folks that you think are the most woke and the most inclusive and stuff, that there's still challenges even between and amongst those organizations. And so if you're struggling with those challenges yourself, that you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I mean, it has to be a little bit exhausting to try to always be coming from a place of compassion. And so I just find that to be incredibly admirable. But I know that you've had so much success with this. And I would just almost encourage anybody out there who might have the opportunity to hear Zaylor speak, just, you know, try to glean some knowledge of how we can have these conversations, because they're hard. Mm-hmm. They are hard. And we've actually heard a little bit about, in a couple of our past episodes, about the caring for the elders, the complications that is presenting. Yeah. We are talking about just some of the queer community and aging in the queer community and having to go into housing and the challenges that is presenting. And there is a whole array of conversations that have to happen, especially if you're going into community housing and maybe trying to not go back in the closet. That's it. There's just such a myriad when we talk about the aging community and conversations that need to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these are growing pains of a society that didn't provide access for folks to be able to get married and be together, right? Like so many of our elders were together, but then, you know, not on paper, right? And now there's so many more couples that are able to age together. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, now what do we do when there's these spaces that were never really set up for us? And how inclusive and welcoming are they going to be? I just had a call with somebody like last week or the week before where they had, you know, a mixed race lesbian couple that had been together for 40 years, and they're trying to find a place for them to be able to live in the housing. And it's a challenge to be able to make sure that you find a place that has the appropriate, you know, cultural inclusion there to be able to allow for them to be themselves, because, you know, they've already lived and fought to be able to be themselves and live their true authentic life, to then potentially have to go back in the closet to be able to secure housing really shouldn't be something that they should have to do.
Yeah, it's such a problem. And I don't think people realize it, that, you know, as hard as our, you know, older community members fought, there are things that we just didn't think about. And I would say that about the youth at this point. You know, they are heading in a direction that they're not always thinking about. Okay, what is the end result when I grow up? What is this going to look like? And so I think that, there's a whole lot to be learned there.
Youth. Yes, I know.
Yes. It's, again, it goes back to that million-dollar question. How do you bridge the gap between, what is it, four generations, five generations?
It's so many. Now?
Like, it's insane. I know we are currently in four generations in the workplace. And, as someone who's been a leader to a lot of different people, the challenge is real, folks. The challenge is real.
Right. Yeah. Z, I think you will continually be able to add to your presentation.
of course, absolutely. I'm excited about. Yeah, I never thought about a half day. I easily could do that, especially with more sessions. So, give me some more tips in regards to stuff that's missing.
Gosh, and just the generational stuff, because I was informed just a few weeks ago that, you know, there are some in the elder community that do not prefer the terminology of using queer. They prefer the LGBTQIA, and so I have definitely got to watch myself with that, because I just just said it like a minute ago. So, I mean, this is an always evolving and always continually needing to educate ourselves. And I think that, again, that comes back to the word exhausting. There's some people that just don't. It almost seems like it's, I've learned, this is where I am, this is good enough. And the gentle nudging of, no, there's still There's still more we can do. You can, you can do more. You can do more. It's not that much to ask, but yeah.
It's exhausting. Let's be real. I don't know how you do it, Z. Like, seriously, your life has got to be exhausting. And just from a standpoint of, like, having to continually say these things, I know you and I know you take care of your mental health and all that stuff. But, man, it's got to be. Do you ever just come home and just scream at what someone said? Like, that would be me. I'd be like, I'd shut the doors and make sure my kids weren't in the room. And then I would have a whole lot of choice words to say.
Well, I mean, I would say the one time I really had the shutdown was after the murder of George Floyd.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, with a lot of people then looking to me as a, you know, a Black, you know, community leader-ish, you know, wanting to see what I had to say about it. And it's like, you know, I've done a lot of my work already. I actually need some time for me to not have to worry about other people and educating other people when that information has always been available to you. And you just chosen not to do your Google search and look for it. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then that's actually where having conversations with other Black folks and other Black queer folks really started off the Facebook conversations that I was having on Facebook Live on the Our Gay History in 50 States website that I think went on for like roughly over a year. But it was bringing in conversations that I was like, hey, I wonder if folks would find benefit in regards to being able to hear a discussion that Black folks were having with them, with each other behind closed doors, and be able to kind of like be a fly on the wall to be able to hear what we're talking about, how we're referencing it, and things of that nature. And that's kind of how it started. So, but yeah, there are definitely times you just have to stop and give yourself a break.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. And that was such an impactful, you know, when George Floyd was murdered, it was such an impactful thing to so many people that I think a lot of us needed that second to be like, what in the world just happened? And how are we going to deal with this? Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, it was definitely, I totally understand you needing to be like, listen, I'm tired. Like, I need to absorb this. And don't turn to me when things have already been out there. Now that this is public and out in the open. And sometimes I feel like that too. It's like, oh, there's trans issues. Whatever do you mean? Do you not want, like, what? What are you talking about? But yeah, there's just so much there. So I'm going to ask the $1 million question. Well, not actually the million. We'll call it the $100,000 question. What are you hoping that people take away from sitting in your presentation?
I hope that they find a cause that hits home for them, that they want to be able to advocate for and be able to serve as an ally to another community. I just hope that it opens their eyes to something new, regardless of whether they've been on the inclusion path for a long time or whether they're just showing up, but really finding, you know, an area, a space, a topic, you know, that they can have discussions with their friends and their communities with, that they can push back in regards to some of the negative and inaccurate and, you know, downright wrong narratives that are being put out there in regards to some of the different communities, and really open their eyes in regards to stuff. You know, when I came up with the session, I thought, I don't know. I was like, maybe people will attend these sessions and feel as though they've heard all of this before, but it doesn't really appear to be the case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think I'm unique in that perspective in regards to the different communities that I interact with and have had the benefit and the pleasure of being able to interact with and being able to share their stories and ideally serve as an ally to be able to get some of those stories out there. An introduction to folks so that then they won't necessarily feel fearful to be able to have a discussion or a conversation with somebody that's trans, yeah. Right? Or somebody that's non-binary or somebody that's Black or an immigrant, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's really the case. So it's really hoping to be able to spark something in them where they would find an interest to be able to advocate for somebody that's different than them.
So I got one quick question before we got to take a break. Give me your 10-second definition of a good ally. You can't pause for 10 seconds.
All right. I'd say a good ally is one that puts the needs of those that they're trying to advocate for in the forefront, that lifts up their voices and not your voice, and doesn't allow for, speaking badly about the community to go unchecked. It's easy to be an ally in front of folks than it is to not do it when they're not there. And so when you're doing it when they're not there and they're not present is really the sign of a true ally.
Absolutely. So, you know, just like normal, the time flies by when we start talking about things like this. Yes. So we'll be right back to talk more with Zaylor Stout. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
You are somebody that I don't know, but you're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, damn. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how to get along. And so you're back.
We are back, and you're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950. I'm your co-host, Rena Heisel, as always, along with Andy Otto, Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride. And we are talking to the amazing Zaylor Stout, author, attorney, advocate, presenter. And we've talked a lot about your presentation, How Woke Are You? If someone is interested in having you speak at one of their events, how could they get a hold of you or book?
They can reach out to me on LinkedIn. Okay. So I'm the only Zaylor Stout there. Z-A-Y-L-O-R-E, Stout, S-T-O-U-T. And actually, it's funny you ask that because I'm going to be having a speaker page developed too, so I can just send folks good. To the speaker page. That's likely going to end up being ZaylorStout.com. So be able to send folks there to be able to and have all the different topics and information and stuff and be able to book and make reservations and get connected with my executive assistant to get that, make that happen.
Those assistants always make it happen.
Assistants, man.
Oh, I know. Everything. I know.
Shout out to Mary.
Right.
Yay, Mary.
Yay, Mary. we love Mary over here. and what I haven't quite told you yet is I'm going to figure out a way to do this presentation in a bigger scope. I haven't figured it out yet, and it'll have to happen after June because, you know, well, we all know.
Yeah.
But I think people need to hear it. So I don't know. I'm going to figure out a way.
Once he says that, that's usually exactly.
Hey, where there's a will, there's a way, and go big or go home.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you forget any of how to get a hold of Zaylor, please don't hesitate to reach out to tcpride.org. Call our office. We can certainly remind you of how to get a hold of you. So, and then also remind listeners, how can they get a hold of your books?
Yes. So, great question. Mm-hmm. Always ask the author where you want them to get the books.
Yes.
And so if you get the book at gay50states.com, 10% of the proceeds go to an LGBT nonprofit of your choice. And we have a list of those on the website as well.
Yay.
And that's the only place where you can get signed copies of the book too. On our website, we also have free curriculum that you can download that are age appropriate and meet the Common Core standards and everything. So all available for you.
I love that.
What's the website again? One more time.
Gay50states.com.
Okay. Okay. And do we have time? Just like a little quick update. Where are you with the other book?
Our Black History in 50 States? Yep. So much. So there's the interesting thing with that one is like, the difference between the two books. So the further back that I went in regards to our gay history in 50 states, the harder it was to find entries. Whereas our Black history in 50 states, multitude of entries. Mm-hmm. So it's like two, three times as much research. Then I have to like figure out what's going to make it into the book. So that's the biggest challenge here. So, but I'm really excited in regards to finishing this off and then finally handing it off to the publisher. I also have an agent out there that's hitting the pavement, trying to get me a book deal, which would be amazing as well. If that ends up happening, then there will be a delay, an extra year delay in getting the book out because that's just how the industry works.
Well, that's okay. It's just giving you time to write your sequel to it since there's so much.
Well, exactly.
Not to put that on your plate.
There's a slew of books that are going to be written. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And lastly, how social media. Let's face it, that's a real thing. How do they follow you on social?
Oh, yeah. Gay50States. same thing on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. I would say Facebook and Instagram are the more active ones as opposed to Twitter or X, I guess I should say. X is not my favorite X platform, never has been.
Sucks. Did I say that out loud?
Not on TikTok yet.
Yet.
I know they keep pushing me to do it.
Yet.
Well, we got to see what happens with the TikTok.
Is Twin Cities Pride on TikTok yet?
Yes. Thank you very much. I know. Ooh. We beat you to it. That's unusual for us.
I'm going to do it.
Yes. But it's a great time to remind everybody who's listening, and including writing this book, because you have to do a lot of research and things like that, that we can't do programs like this or all the other ones that we get to do without thanking our sponsors and donors like those that listen. If you're interested in donating to Twin Cities Pride, please head over to our website, tcpride.org, and click the donate button. Whether it's a one-time donation or $20 a month, every penny goes back to supporting our community. We'd like to give a huge shout out to Wells Fargo and Pair of Thieves, who sponsorship helps elevate and amplify all of our voices all year long. I got to tell you, we've all converted to Pair of Thieves. Like, I'm actually wearing their pants today. They're the most great thing ever. So thank you to those sponsors who make sure that we're taken care of and we can do programs like this.
Yes. And speaking of amplifying our voices, I just want to remind our listeners for a second that we want this program to be what you would like us to talk about. And the only way we can do that is if you let us know what you would like us to talk about here on Amplified. So you can shoot us an email at amplify@tcpride.org if you have an idea for an interview you'd like to see, a topic you'd like us to cover. Just please drop us a line.
Hey, Z, before we have to end here, and I know I'm going to cut close to time, so I apologize for that. Are you going to be at Pride? Do you have a booth at Pride? Or did I just
be at Pride,
throw you under the bus?
Remember,
there.
I'm on the board for Quorum, yes. Vice President, so I will be at the Quorum booth. And so folks will be able to come by and see me and get books signed and all that kind of stuff too. Quick thank you to Best Buy for sponsoring my book for the state of Minnesota. They bought 150 books that got donated to LGBT nonprofits that work with queer kids. And so if you're with a company that's interested in sponsoring my book for your state, that's something that's also available. Follow Best Buy's lead. They were the first one, so thank you.
I love that. Yes. Also, thank you to Best Buy. They are one of our sponsors as well, showing up big and strong and making sure that they're taking care of our community and their employees. And that's what matters, right? At the end of the day, when everybody can live their most authentic life, that's when we strive and thrive and be incredibly successful. So if you want to see Zaylor, look at the map where you see the little Quorum logo. Go there.
Yes.
You'll be there all weekend?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Mainly I'll be there all weekend. Yeah. Mainly. We have different shifts and stuff, but I'll be there.
Yeah. You'll be there. And you'll have some books around?
Of course. Yes. Of course. Of course.
Okay. Excellent.
I know Andy's looking at me like, oh, aren't you going to be volunteering at Pride?
No. I'll forgive you because I think getting your book out is super important.
Yeah.
So I'll forgive you for that. But yes, if anybody wants to volunteer for Pride, email volunteer.
They're always looking for volunteers. Sign up.
I know, right? Yes. Sign up. I think you've sat through some of our staff meetings and it gets intense. Like, it is a lot right now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're always looking for volunteers because that's the best. But just like that, my friend, we are so out of time. Thank you so much for coming back and joining us today on Twin Cities Pride Amplified. Thank you so much to my co-host, Rena, for making sure that I show up to the places on time and that, you know, I know. See, assistants, I'm telling you, without them, I mean,
the world would stop.
I wouldn't miss oil changes, to be honest.
Like, okay, that's funny you said that because you are due.
Yes. See, exactly. Oh. I know, right? Without assistance.
We're getting one on the books right now.
Yes. So shout out to Mary and Rena for keeping Z and I in that lane and making sure that we're showing up to, you know, today. So thank you. I also want to shout out that we are broadcasting our June 29th episode live on Loring Stage. So if you want to come see that, do that. But thank you again. We will be back next Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. right here on AM 950 to discuss all the work that we were doing at Twin Cities Pride to make this the best year ever. Let's take care of each other all year long. 'Cause you were born this way, baby.